Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Well, you picked a great Sunday to join us. And whether you're watching from our website or YouTube or our Facebook, or maybe you're listening to our podcast as you run on the treadmill, I believe God has a word for each of you today. Maybe some of you are burning a few calories as you hear that word. And you know what? That word is just as powerful whether you hear it and listen to it on a Sunday morning or a Tuesday. But I don't know about you, but I still love coming together on Sundays to worship and spend time in Scripture. For me, it just starts my week on a strong path. Now, we're in episode 2 of our new Rescue Message series as we look at Christ's death and life mission as we head towards a very special weekend. Now, in case you've lost all sense of time and space and your days are kind of running together, Easter is on the way. I always feel like the days leading up to the Easter weekend are filled with anticipation. They are filled with hope and celebration. And I don't know about you, but we could all use a little bit more of that in our lives these days. And as Christ followers, Easter represents the defining foundational moment of our faith when Jesus came to rescue us and pay the ultimate price for our sins to be forgiven by laying down his life. But the power of death couldn't hold him down. It couldn't keep a good man down. And what looked like the end of the story for some people was really only the beginning. And you know what? It gets even better, because today, if you're struggling, if you're facing situations that you don't know how to get through them, maybe the world has knocked you down. The good news is that if he abides in you, you don't have to stay down either. As the song says, the resurrected king is resurrecting me. Jesus took the worst that the world could throw at him, and he rebranded a symbol of death as a symbol of hope and life. Now, at this point within our city, we're not entirely sure if Easter will include any form of kind of on-site gathering. So please watch our website, calvary.ca, for all the latest updates. And we, like many of you, are still waiting to hear when our official open will be again. But one thing is for sure, we are ready to go. Our teams have been working so hard preparing for an amazing Easter weekend of outreach so that you and your family will be able to experience online from wherever you are the joy and the hope that comes with Easter. And listen, as always, each of you have a very important role to play in what Easter looks like. For me, I kind of set a goal, and I want you to do the same with me. Let's plan and pray to invite and pray for 3 to 5 people in our lives that we know could really use some hope. It's never been easier to invite people to church than it is right now, and people can attend our Easter Sunday service from the comfort of their living room. So give someone a call, send them a text, email, share our church social media. Let's be the church. Let's help spread the good news of what this truly means to all of us. Because right now, everybody needs a little extra hope. Now, you and your guests are invited to join us on Good Friday for our communion service at 10:30. Our Mandarin Campus communion service will broadcast at 9 a.m. So go to calvary.ca on Good Friday and join us. And of course, it'll be BYOB, bring your own bread and juice and wine, whichever you prefer. And then both campuses will be broadcasting live on Easter Sunday at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. And of course, our team will be online to talk live in the chat or through Zoom so that you can come and say hello and receive prayer if you need it. Okay, you know, in my office right across from my desk is a shelf, and on that shelf sits 5 smooth stones, just like this one. 4 of them kind of sit grouped off to one side, and the other one, this one, sits all by itself. My parents actually brought these stones back from Israel when they returned from one of their adventures to the Holy Land, from the valley where David defeated Goliath. And you know what? They sit on my shelf as a reminder to me to this day of God's unique ability to rescue us in a very unpredictable way sometimes. You know what? It didn't require all five stones to bring down the giant, just one of them, directed by and accelerated by the hand of God. I've always been captivated by David's life, by his maturing and immaturing that was happening right before our eyes in Scripture as he went from a simple shepherd to a great king. And he was a very important character in God's rescue plan and part of the family tree of the greatest rescuer of all times. You know, when I look back, I was probably in grade 8 when a teacher that I really enjoyed being in his class, he approached me and asked me if I would audition for the school play. So I reluctantly kind of went along with him, and my friend and I decided we were going to go out for this cowboy comedy show called A Fist Full of Jelly Beans. Now, long story short, my friend and I went out honestly just for a good laugh. But in the end, we ended up making the cut. But then they said something peculiar to us. They said, we actually want you both for the lead role. But in the end, my friend was cast as the primary, and I was cast as the understudy. I was the alternate, you know, the backup. In case he couldn't perform or got sick, then I would jump in because I had rehearsed all the lines, the songs, all the choreography, all the blocking, and then I would be ready to be kind of parachuted in. Now, it wasn't quite what I had in mind, to be honest. It was kind of like getting the silver medal at the Olympics, right? So close to gold, but not close enough. So it wasn't my favorite thing, but I went along with it. You know, most of us, I think at one time or another, have been watching our favorite movie or a television program and imagined what it would be like to be cast as the star of the show. Not the support role, not the sidekick role, but the lead role. To see our name on the big screen appear in the credits before everybody else's name. As a matter of fact, if it was up to me in that school play, the poster would have read A Fist Full of Jelly Beans starring the one and only Stephen McDonald. I think sometimes we read the Bible like that too. We read stories of great rescues and victories as we look at biblical history. And sometimes we cast ourselves as we read those stories in the lead role. We look at Moses leading the people through and across the Red Sea, holding that staff out as the waters kind of peeled back. Or we look at Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, blowing that trumpet and walking around the walls as they came crashing down. What a day it would have been to be there. Or David, as we just talked about, picking five smooth stones and really needing only one of them in his sling to defeat the fearsome giant. You know what? I think the most common interpretation of a story like David and Goliath usually places the responsibility on us to play the part of David. And Goliath is our problems that we can conquer. So as we read and kind of put ourselves in the narrative, we sometimes can see a different side of the story, a different perspective. I've heard countless inspiring messages from this kind of viewpoint. And all of them are great principles and points. But sometimes I think we can miss the truth. And so when we look at David as an underdog, we kind of feel hope for ourselves. And although, again, there's valuable principles to pull from this perspective, sometimes the greater truth I think that God intended gets lost in the shuffle. The truth is, we're not David in this story. In this rescue story, we got to play a supporting role, not the lead character. David is clearly a picture of Christ in the future. And so in the broader context, we're more like the Israelites, hiding under the weight of fear. People that are in need of a rescue because we just can't do it for ourselves. We can't defeat our enemies on our own. So we need a David in our lives to stand in our place, to defeat our enemies. But then what happens after that? Well, as we read on, David slings that rock, crushes the enemy's head. Then David takes his sword and cuts his head off. Pretty harsh, I know. And then the enemies are on the run. The Israelite army kind of pursues them. Now, who else does that sound like? Someone that was to come with the power to crush the enemy and to cut off his head. Well, we get a glimpse of who that is as the seeds of God's rescue plan are introduced after the fall, when God spoke to the serpent in the garden. In Genesis 3:15, it says, "And I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Now, because of the last Adam, or the son of David, and his great sacrifice on Calvary's cross, we can face our enemies today and do it with great courage, but only when we recognize what Jesus actually did for us. Jerry Vine said it like this. He said, "We don't fight for victory in the Christian life. We fight from victory." That is a powerful statement. We're not underdogs looking for a lucky break. We're fighting this spiritual war from a position of victory that he has already paid for. It's really a picture of sanctification, but a sanctification that's based on what Jesus has done in rescuing or saving us. So when we study stories and characters from the Bible who were rescued or rescued other people that maybe we heard when we were kids, like David and Goliath, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Jonah and the whale, we need to be careful that we don't allow our own preconceived ideas about what we know about these stories or characters to influence our understanding of what actually happened or why it happened. You see, there's always more to learn and to pull from the scriptures, especially ones we've read in what seems like a million times. Sometimes we need to read it again. We need to listen to God, because we don't want to miss what God is really trying to say through the lives of these legends of the faith. You see, the reason David was able to defeat Goliath had little to do with his own talent or skill or ability, even though he had those things. You see, the reason David conquered Goliath is based on who he knew. It was the God who prevailed that day in the battle. It was our God who was really the star of the show. So David and his life was a type of Jesus, foreshadowing a greater rescue that was still to come. Again, when we say that someone was a type of Christ, we're saying that a character in the Old Testament, like David, behaves in a certain way that corresponds to Jesus' character or Jesus' actions in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it provides the context that we need for the promised plan of the Father since the beginning of time. The rescue plan that was fulfilled in the New Testament when Jesus came to rescue us all from sin and death. Listen, when we fight from the place of Christ's victory, we have the power to see our hopes and our dreams renewed, to see faith for our relationships and strength for our families. David was like Jesus, and he was like Jesus in three distinct ways. First of all, David was a shepherd, right? He tended his father's flocks, and then later would pastor his people. And then Jesus was what? The good shepherd, ready to lay down his life for his sheep. David was also a rescuer. He was rescuing his people by overcoming Goliath and delivering them from the Israelites, from the oppression of the Philistines. He was a figure of Christ as Savior, delivering us from the slavery of sin. He was also a king. He was a king who gathered the 12 tribes in unity and then achieved this not by fear, but by loving the people. And our God, he's the King of Kings, who will gather his children under his Father's kingdom and bring them all together. 1 Samuel 17 says, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him because you're only a young man. You're just a kid. And he's been a warrior since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Doesn't exactly sound like what qualifies you as a warrior. But he says, when a lion came to steal a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, he said, I seized it by the hair. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He said, he will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. David understood what being rescued was all about. You see, he had been through it before. So let me give you three unique insights from David's life that I think will help you live this thing called the Christian life. First thing we see in David's life is that he prepared before the battle. See, the reason David was successful in the battle was because he prepared before it ever started. But if you prepare in the battle, it's too late. It's too late. You see, out of all his brothers, David was not the most likely to step in and shine in this military moment. His other brothers were older, wiser, more seasoned, better trained. Who needs a trained soldier when we could take that shepherd boy out there hanging out with the sheep? It doesn't make sense to our mind, but God knew David in a different way. You see, David in his isolated times as a shepherd was preparing himself for what God knew was coming as he protected and cared for his sheep. He spent time loading up that sling over and over again, protecting his sheep, maybe doing target practice with the trees, and maybe not being jealous of his brothers, but being content where he was. He faithfully prepared with the lions and bears before he ever faced the giant. You know, when I was in Bethlehem, I saw shepherds just like that, walking through the fields, their sheep grazing. It wasn't a glamorous job as they stood in the heat of the day. Not at all. And they had plenty of idle time. But David put that idle time to use, and he set to preparing himself. What we do in private always prepares us for what he's called us to do in public. At the end of the day, it still wasn't his great skill, wasn't his great ability that allowed him to defeat Goliath that day. Not at all. See, it may have helped, and I'm sure it did, but that wasn't the key. While he was alone with those sheep, he was able to also be alone with his God, developing a deeper devotion to him, listening to God, talking to God. He was fortifying his faith. And when it was time for him to step onto that battlefield, it wasn't about armor. It wasn't about his size or his skill. It was about the God inside him who was bigger than any giant that David would ever face. He knew God so well that he was convinced that God would rescue him as he had always done before. This new obstacle was no different. So how are you spending your downtime? Are you preparing for whatever could come, or are you just waiting fearfully for it to come? Don't wait to pull it all together when things start exploding all around you. Come close to him in the quiet time so that you're prepared. You're prepared when the battle shows up at your door. See, it's difficult to develop intimacy with God when your downtime is filled with endless scrolling of social media or binge watching Netflix. Fun, yes, maybe, but not always as productive as it could be. Number two, he prevailed in the battle. Now, the key to this is that he prevailed because he prepared. David prepared in private so that he could prevail in public. David, the Messiah-like figure, gives us a taste a foretaste of what's to come. Empowered by God, the battle that he prevailed through was a picture of Christ prevailing for you and I. And then it goes back to what we see in the garden when Jesus spoke to the serpent in Genesis 3:15. It's a picture of that moment. The only reason really that David was able to prevail in that moment was that this Messiah-like picture was being fulfilled in the moment so that Christ could bring it about in his time. Number three, he preserved the glory. Likely the only person that believed David could beat Goliath that day was David himself. One individual is always a majority when God is on your side. David knew that when he stepped onto the battlefield. And David's focus was not on his own glory, but on God's glory. Actually, David's not even the real hero of this story. It seems that way. It's really God. Again, the point of this passage is not about David and his abilities. It's about David and his trust in his God. We haven't been cast in the lead role. It's all about him. It's not about our glory. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't defeat our enemies on our own. We need a rescue. We need a rescuer that will save us. The Messiah who really deserves all of the praise and all of the glory. He's the one who's going to accomplish for us what we can't accomplish on our own. Man doesn't do good with touching God's glory. Even our greatest modern-day heroes fall when they try to share the glory of that lead role. You see, it belongs to him, not to me. Again, the hero of the story is God. It's not David. And sometimes we look at our lives, we look at maybe the things that we've accomplished, our success, and we start to believe that we are who we are because of something we did. You see, the trap of feeling like a self-made man or a self-made woman, it attempts to remove God from the equation, which we know is an absolute impossibility. And if we're not careful, we can start believing our own press release. We weren't created for that kind of praise. You can look on your Instagram and say, look at all these likes, look at all these followers I have. I'm amazing. What does the Bible say? Pride comes before a fall. Be very careful. And remember this, the reason David conquered Goliath is based on who he knew. It was God who prevailed that day in the battle. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? He is for you today, church. You need to know that. Be encouraged. Be encouraged through God's word that whatever battle you're facing right now in your life, whatever situation you're going through, God will empower you to overcome and have the victory that he's promised you if you're dependent upon the Lord. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for the promise of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, that when we are wholly dependent upon you, that you will rescue and save us every time. Father, we're thankful for the great rescue plan that you put in motion. That, Lord, we fight from a place of victory, the victory that your Son has already paid for in our life. God, we pray today that you would help us to prepare for the battle, that we would spend that time fortifying our faith and coming closer to you, that we would give you all the glory, and that we would prevail in those moments because we have properly prepared. Today, if you're watching this broadcast and you don't know Christ, and you feel like, Pastor Steve, I need to know the reality of what you're talking about. I need to know God in a personal way. Then this is your opportunity. You just need to pray this simple prayer with me, and really, this is the beginning of a new chapter. If that's you today, pray this prayer, Lord Jesus. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm under that weight and I need a rescue. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. And I thank you for the new start that you're giving me in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Calvary, God's best to you this week. Start to pray and think about who you're going to invite to Easter. And I look forward to seeing you again next Sunday for Calvary Church Online. I'll see you then.